Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today. To return again to the passage from last week, I felt that there was just a little bit more, not much, but a little bit more that need to come out of that passage, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I want to read again verses 22 through 34. This time I'm going to read from New International Version or the Revised Authorized Version, and I want you to hear, just to put it in our minds, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 22 and going through 34. He said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, or your body, nor your body for what you shall put on it. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. But they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If you then cannot do even a very little thing, why are you so anxious? Why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to talk again about don't worry, worry-free living. We're going to call this part two, worry-free living. This message really is about where your heart is. And when I speak of your heart, I'm not talking about the muscle that pumps blood. I'm talking about where your mind, where your head, where your inner man is. Where do your thoughts rest? What is the secret, the consuming desire that lives inside of you? Because to understand the passage of what Jesus is saying, He said in verse 22, do not be anxious. He said it in verse 29, do not keep worrying. He says it in verse 32, do not be afraid. And what I want you to understand is the ability to respond to these commands has everything to do with where your heart is, where your head is. If your mind is so wrapped around the earthly resources, it's no way you're going to be able to do this. But if your mind, in order for you to be able to live worry-free, there has to be a transfer of your heart. You have to transfer from thinking so much and worrying so much about earthly things to placing it in heavenly realms. In the earlier part of this 12th chapter, it's about the 16th verse and following, Jesus gave a parable to illustrate the point. He talked about a man, a certain man. I mean, Jesus was master. He could just drop him. A certain man, he said, whose field had brought forth plenteous. He had so much so he was caught in a quandary that he asked himself, what shall I do? And then he began to speak to himself. He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new and greater barns. And then I'll say to myself, to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. And Jesus called that man a fool. He said, thou fool, this very night, your soul is going to be required of you. In other words, you're going to die. And then whose things these will be. And then he goes on to say, and so it is with everyone who is rich in treasures on the earth. And so he offers us something here. He offers us worry-free, fear-free living. And man, I don't know how that makes you feel, but it blesses me. Last week we told you that psychologists and psychiatrists and all of the medical professionals that deal with mind issues and mind challenges and the stresses that we have can only best help us manage our worry, manage our stress, manage the pressure. They'll give you something to help you sleep at night, but it doesn't take away the worry. All it does, it helps you be all right for a while. Then when you wake up, you still got to deal with it. But Jesus promises that I will take it away from you, that you can live worry-free. You can live stress-free, and you can live fear-free. Oh, Lord, that's good news. That's good news. But in order to do that, you know, that's the question of the text. How is it possible to be free from worry? How many worries? Be honest, I know you do. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me. You do. You got every reason to worry. You live in this world. You live in this fallen world, and you have children. You have families. You have you. You have all of your challenges and all of your issues. And Lord knows they present and carry with them weights. And sometimes we worry, and listen, and don't have no boo. Husband, wife, whatever, because you're going to worry about them too. Where they are, what they need, how possible you might deal with some of it. And the list goes on and on. And it will continue as long as you think like the man in the parable, that you need to put your stuff in earthly barns so that you will have enough for whatever you need. You're going to continue to worry. They talked to a rich man one time and they asked him, "Do you worry?" He said, "Yes." They asked him, "What do you worry about?" He says, "More money." They said, "But we thought you were rich. How much is enough?" He said, "Always a little bit more." And that's how people feel. No matter what you have, always a little bit more. And consequently, we can never be at peace as long as we are thinking worldly thoughts. So the transfer has to take place. Our heart, our minds has to be put on heavenly things, in a place that guarantees that there'll be no refusals, in a place that guarantees there'll be no shortage. Jesus said, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." So he offers to us anxiety-free or worry-free living. I mean, who really wouldn't want to take a dive? But we talked last week. We said last time that one of the reasons, or should I say five of the reasons that people don't live worry-free lives is because there's something about God that they fail to understand. And we listed it. I mean, you can only worry about something physical or something spiritual. You either worry about something on earth or you worry about your soul or something in heaven. And we said the problem is that ministers many times over the years that all of us been going to church have not drilled down deep enough into the nature and person of God and promises of God that you really don't always know what God has said and what God has promised. And as a result, we'd be going, "Oh my, oh me." So it's something that we fail to know. We said it's either ignorance or unbelief. That's what it is. It's ignorance in not knowing what God has said. Or it's not believing what God has promised. It's only two things. Either you don't know what he said, or you know what he said, but you just don't believe it. So last time we said five things that people tend not to know. Number one, they don't know, according to verse 22, 23, the priority of God. There are people who worry because they don't know that God's priority. He said, look at your life. In your life more than food and your body more than clothes? God made you for a purpose. He has something in mind for you. And do you realize that he has scheduled every day of your life? And because God has purpose in mind, he's going to take care of you. So why worry? That was the first argument. The second argument was people worry because there's a failure to understand divine privilege. But provision, should I say, in verse 24. You know, he gave an illustration there. He said, which of you, by worrying, you know, can add anything. If you don't understand that God take care of the birds, he said, consider the ravens. They don't work anywhere. They don't gather anything. And yet your father feeds them. Aren't you more than a bird? Then do you realize what that is saying? That God himself is going to provide for you. As long as you live on this earth, God has something for you to do. And as long as he has something for you to do, he's going to take care of you. And if that can't lift your spirit, I don't know what can lift your spirit. If you think that you have to put it in the barn over here and so that you can go get it when you want it, what happens when you can't go? So Sees, number three, he said, we worry because we fail to understand divine preference. Look what Jesus said. He said, which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? Listen, I cannot go from 5'8 to 6'7 by worrying about it. I don't care how I might pull the hat out of my head. Oh, I wish I was 6'7". I wish I was. It ain't going to happen, baby. It's not. And so he's saying, and what he's really saying is not so much that you can't add physical height or stature to your life. You can't add days to your life. You can't add any length of time to your sojourn on the earth beyond what God has already determined that it's going to be. And so why worry? Why worry about it? And you do know that is a cause of our worry. And some people worry themselves to death. Somebody said, well, what's the definition of worry? Worry, definition, Wesley's Axiom 101, is worry is the down payment on trouble ever before it become due. You worry about things that hasn't even yet come up. And the truth is, most of the things we worry don't even come up. Most of the things that we're concerned about doesn't really happen. And then we said that worry is also a failure to understand divine preference. I mean, God is the one who chooses, decides on how long you live. And then worry is also a failure to understand the divine paternity, the fatherhood of God. And that's why I want to pick it up, because that's why I think we're missing it. We don't realize the fatherhood of God. Jesus taught those men, and he taught Israel that God was our father. They only knew God as the Almighty. They only knew him as El Shaddai. They only knew him as God the Provider, you know, Jehovah Jireh. They knew him by his aspects, but they did not know him as Father. When the disciples realized that Jesus was praying all the time, they said, teach us to do that. And he said, okay, when you pray, say our what? Our Father, because he wanted them to see a new connection with God. He wanted to put it in terms of understanding the role of a father. And what does a father do? A father provides. A father protects. A father blesses and deals with his family for their good. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Why are you going to worry? Why are you going to be afraid when you have a father who's going to take care of it? Man, when my dad was living on earth, I wasn't scared of nothing. Because I'd go home and he had the responsibility. I didn't. I didn't have the responsibility of providing for the family. I was in it. Are you hearing me? I didn't have to pay the bills. He did. That was his job. I didn't even have to work. Because he was going to make sure that was something to eat. I didn't have to worry about nobody breaking in. Because that was his job. Now, transfer that. That's the point that Jesus is making. Why worry when you have a father? A father who's in heaven, who provides for your needs, who protects you from hurt, harm, danger, things you can see, things you cannot see. Things you don't know. He doesn't tell you everything because you don't need to know everything. Matter of fact, the psalmist said, he who keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleep. And so if God got the night shift, I'm going night, night. He's watching over me. And why worry? Okay, because, and another reason you don't have to worry, if he comes out of the passage today, and I'm going to move into what I want to deal with today. He said, because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, I'm sorry again. It's impossible or very difficult or very challenging for me as an earthly father to know the needs that exist in my household and do nothing about it. You understand? That is a challenge. That is difficult. And especially if I can. Amen. If I have the wherewithal to do what needs to be done and refuse to do it, then that's negligence on my part. And I want you to understand, God is not negligent. Amen. So he knows that you have need of these things. He knows you need to eat. So he's going to make sure you have something. I mean, he knows what to do. I mean, if he have to send somebody. You remember in the Old Testament, there was a prophet, you know, who God told to go down by the brook. And God commanded the ravens, the very birds, the buzzards, to bring, take that man down there something to eat. And then when the brook dried up, he commanded a widow woman who had just a little bit left. And the prophet showed up at her house and he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm getting ready to make one little cake out of this last little bit of meal for me and my son. And I guess we'll pretty much starve to death. The prophet said, make me one first. That was a bold statement. Put me first, he went on to say. And the woman did. And you know what happened? Her meal did not run out because God supernaturally provided. Is there anybody here who know God will supernaturally provide for you? Wait, come, let me come a little closer. Anybody during this pandemic, the Lord provided for you? I mean, you know, you couldn't even go to work. Some of you hadn't been back yet, and some of you might not go back, and the Lord still provides. Listen, I don't care what you call it. You can call it stimulus. You can call it unemployment. I call it the Lord's provision. He raises it up. He moves on the heart of folk. He opens the door. Whole nations shut down. And still the most profitable on the face of the earth. Because we have a Father in heaven. But I want you to understand that sometimes it's hard to do, isn't it? To believe that. It's hard to believe that God will provide. I heard of a preacher, pastor, who was counseling another pastor. And they had been in session for several times. And all of a sudden, the lead pastor who was doing the counseling was out of town. And the young counselee was trying to get in touch and couldn't. Left 4 or 5 messages, couldn't get him on the phone. And finally, the senior pastor got back with him. And he said, I heard your messages that you left for me. You sounded desperate. And the young counselee said, well, you know, I want to be honest with you. I've been pastoring now about 10 years and ministry just really taking off and going, but I've been diagnosed with cancer and I'm dying. And he said, and I'm worried. That was the conversation of the counseling. I'm worried. I'm worried about what's going to happen to my family. I'm worried about what's going to happen to me. And he said, and to make matters worse, he said, my bones are so brittle. I went to the doctor the other day and I reached for the rail and I fell and I broke my arm. And I broke several other parts of my body. And the senior pastor said, I want to remind you of what God's word say. That if he so feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field, he will take care of you. And not only will he take care of you, he's going to take care of your family. And what it came down to, are you going to believe what the words say? See, sometimes circumstance can press in on you. And life can look ugly. And in the minds, from a human standpoint, it looks like it's all messed up. But it wasn't all messed up. It was God's plan being fulfilled. The young man had lived the life that God had given him. And he lived it as long as God wanted him to live. And now it was time for him to rest in peace and for God to take over and for God to provide for his family. And the truth is, that's the truth for all of us. None of us can stay here always. So we do the best we can to raise our children and to do things that we can to make necessary arrangements so that those who come behind us can find what they need. And if they can't find what we left, trust God. And ultimately, that's what you're going to have to do anyway. Trust God. So here's what I want to help you see today. Because verse 33 and verse 34, that's the part of the text we didn't get a chance to get into, and this is the final point. Not only should you not fail to recognize the priorities of God and the provision of God and the privilege of God and the paternity of God, but you must also not fail to understand it is divine pleasure. What is divine pleasure? What gives God pleasure? The text tells us. The text tells us that it pleases the Father to give to you the kingdom. You, his children, the kingdom. Come on, man, listen, Preston. He didn't say give you something out of the kingdom. He says, give you the kingdom. Now, I understand that we have different thoughts when we think of the kingdom because the kingdom comes in three different dimensions. There is the eternal kingdom where we'll be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. There is the millennial kingdom that Jesus will set up on the earth for 1,000 years after the battle of Armageddon. But we are living right now in the spiritual kingdom. And when God says, I will give you, and it gives me pleasure to give you the kingdom, he means that you have everything that he gave to Jesus and is now yours. Because we are joint heirs with Christ. And what belonged to him belonged to you. I was laughing at my grandson yesterday. I promise you I was. I walked through the house and he kicked back in my big chair. And I looked at him. I said, boy, what you doing? And my wife chimed in, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I mean, he's laying down. He's enjoying it. Because he know it belonged to him. Was mine is his. And what's his is his. Are you hearing that? God gives to you what he has given to Jesus. And man, that is powerful. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. So if the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, what does God want to give to you? Righteousness and what? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if God is giving you peace, what you worrying about? What are you afraid of? Let me take you a little deeper. Because it's the Father's delight to give you that. But not only that, but then in Luke says, just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, Jesus said that, spoke that in Luke's Gospel chapter 22, verse 29. Just as my Father has given me the kingdom, granted me the kingdom, I grant it to you. Jesus is saying, my Father has given it to me. So now I'm passing it on to you. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, look at what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. If God has blessed Jesus in the heavenlies, he has blessed you in the heavenlies. Look at what Romans 8:32 says. How will he not also freely with him give us all things? If God gave us Jesus and Jesus gave us his life, how come God won't give you whatever else you need? If you need a little something to help you be sustained physically, God doesn't mind. Did you not hear some 21? What, the earth is the Lord, fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein all belong to who? Cattle on a thousand hill belong to who? Then you think he's afraid to let you have a steak or a burger? And all of the cattle belong to him? God is not selfish like that. It means you don't understand something about his nature, about what he is promising to you. And that's what I'm trying to convey to you, that this is his pleasure to do this. Our Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace. Listen at this verse right here. He's able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. Look, that word, that verse is just so full and pregnant with words like all and every. God wants you to have it all. Everything you big enough and bad enough to believe him for. But that is our problem, isn't it? Yeah. You know me? I don't deserve it. So the Lord not going to give it to me. I told a lie yesterday. So the Lord going to wipe my name out of the book. I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. Stayed longer than I wasn't supposed to stay. So now the Lord can't bless me. Come off of it. It's not who our God is. It's not who our God is. There is no reluctance on God's part to give it to you. The reluctance is with who? Us. How many came in church and decided, I'm going to pray today? And you prayed, but as soon as you said amen, you picked it right back up. You said, Lord, I know I need you to help me with this. And you put it on the altar. And started toward the parking lot and came back and got it. There's no reluctance in God. The problem is with us. But you know what? We don't have to be like that. Because I want you to see what Jesus is saying. See, what if Jesus is saying, and I know you're hearing what I'm saying. Jesus is saying, and I know you hear this. Jesus is saying, I want to take away from you your worries. I want to take away from you your anxieties. I want to take away from you your fears. Now, hearing that, that's pretty good stuff, doesn't it? I want that. That sounds good. Who in their right mind would not take that? But you got to remember, when Jesus was speaking this, he was speaking this to tens of thousands of people. He was speaking it to a massive crowd. But that wasn't all he said. See, by now, you got to know that from chapter 12 all the way down to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 9, this is one discourse. This is one sermon that Jesus is preaching. And by now, he's in the middle of the sermon, and people are going, wow, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And then he throws them the hook. I'm going to throw it to you. And this is what makes it all so difficult. Because he says to you, he said, you want me to take care of you? Yes. You want me to take away your worries? Yes. You want me to take away your fears? And your answer would be, yes. You want me to do all of that for you? All right? Then do what? Go sell your possessions and give it to the poor. What? If you want me to take care of you, go get rid of all of your stuff and then trust me. That almost sounds unbiblical. But these are the words that came from Jesus. And I need you to understand that this is not inconsistent with what he said. How many know about the rich young ruler? He told him the same thing. Man came to Jesus one day. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have eternal life. And the rich young ruler said, not on your life. And he walked away sorrowful because the Bible said he was very rich. So is Jesus really saying this? I mean, Meechie, if you were in seminary and the professor asked you and said to you on a test, what must you do to inherit eternal life? And you put the answer on your paper, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, that professor is going to mark that paper wrong. Because we all know that's not how you get to heaven. You get eternal life from believing in Jesus, accepting his death on the cross and his sacrifice and his resurrection, and you shall be saved. Is that right? We all know that. But why then is he talking like this? Not only did he say, go sell your poor deeds and give it to the poor, he said, and make yourself bags that won't wear out, purses that won't wear out. I got you thinking now. Because this is the kind of language. Jesus has been talking like this. He said, if any man come to me, let him deny himself on another occasion, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. So he has been very consistent. What he is saying, Jesus is eliminating people who play games and people who hang around the fringes just for what they can get. He said, you have to be willing to abandon all and trust me wholeheartedly. And if you trust me wholeheartedly, then whatever you need, I will supply it. I will take care of it. But you know people. You know how folk are. Man, I remember when I was in India, I was talking to a man, I was sharing the gospel with him, and he prayed to receive Jesus, and then he opened his eyes. He said, now I can have Muhammad and Jesus. No, you can't have both. Are you understanding? Did not Jesus say in the parallel passage in Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, he said, listen, no man can serve two masters. So he's either going to love the one and do what? Hate the other. He's going to hate the one and love the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammoth or money. Okay, you can't keep putting your stuff in your bonds and yet saying you're going to trust God. Now, this don't misunderstand. He's not saying you can't have savings account. He's not telling you to go be physically bankrupt, but you got to be at least willing. You got to be willing to make him the top priority, because he goes on to say, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. You don't have to go trying to run those things out and putting your trust in those things. Put your trust in the Lord and he will supply. Man, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that all this week. I was thinking about that all this week. I was thinking about a business transaction that I got. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, I want to give it all to you. I want to give it to you. I'm willing. I don't even know what to do with it. And my old mind said, oh, yes, you do. But my new mind, the mind that gives it all to Christ, say, my heart is going to be pure in this. And when your heart is pure in this, God takes it away from you, the pressure of it, the worry about it, the fear of it, and he in its place give you peace about it. I mean, man, how many times have I had trouble with family? How many times have you had trouble with family? How many times have you had trouble with children? I mean, and you worry about it until you reach the point that you said, Lord, I'm just going to turn them over to you. I'm going to give them into your hand. I know they are my responsibility physically, biologically, but I can't do nothing else with this, so I'm going to give it to you. And the moment you do, I promise you, there is a peace that comes over you. I remember one time I was getting ready to have surgery, and I was getting prepped for the surgery, and my humanity began to rise up. I started to feel anxious. I started to begin to try to worry about it. But then I reminded myself of the scripture. I remember the scripture that said, thou, meaning you, God, will keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on you because I trust you. And then I had to confess, and I trust you right now. And the moment I confess that and release that, God overshadowed me with a perfect peace. I calm down. I stop worrying about it. Bring on the shot. They brought the shot. The next thing I know, I woke up and I touched myself. And I say, I'm still here. God, you still bad. I love you. I thank you. I praise you. There have been times, I'm just being practical right now, when I've been up against the wall, when I did not know what I was going to do or how I was going to make it. But I've had a little talk with Jesus. Anybody know about a little talk with Jesus? It makes everything all right. When I got up off of my knees, everything felt better. Circumstances might not have changed much, but it felt better. And I was able to pick up and go on. Remember one day I was driving down the highway, tears running down my cheeks, meeting under my chin. And I began to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you, and if you don't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. About that time, I heard my car go ding, 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 ding. I looked, and my needle was on empty. So I had to pull over to the service station. Just as I pulled into the service station, God reminded me, you are the treasured child of the Most High God. I drove up into the service station. I start pumping the gas. I'm saying, I'm the treasured child of the Most High God. Then it stuck me. I said, I'm the treasured child of the Most High God. Then I got into it a little deeper. I said, I'm the treasured child of the Most High God. And then I began to skip and jump around and shout and declare who I am. I am the treasured child of the Most High. When there is a transfer of the heart from earth to heaven, when you understand that you don't have to think about it in terms of earthly terms, but you think about it in terms of heavenly terms, in terms of God who supplies, God who gives, God who provides. This same God who wakes up the sun every morning, marches it across the blue ether, sets it down behind the western hill, is the same God that wakes me up in the morning. The same God who dresses the moon in a silvery nightgown, lets us stand out over the stars, is the same God who takes care of me. Same God who's always faithful. Every time it rains, the water is always wet. Every time it snows, the snow is always white. Because God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has promised and what he has declared, he will perform. Now the question is, do you know that? Now the second question is, do you believe that? Then why worry? Stop worrying. Tell worry right now, goodbye. Tell fears, see you later. Tell anxiety, no more. Because I trust God. I give myself away. When you give yourself to God, when you give yourself to the Lord, you don't have to worry. You really don't. What are you going to worry for? If God got it, if God provides for it, if it's his pleasure to do it, then why trip about it? He made me. I didn't make myself. He knows my uprising. He knows my down sitting. He knows my thoughts ever before they register. There's not a word in my mouth that he doesn't know. So when I try to worry, I have to learn how to say, I'm not going to worry. I give it to you. I turn it over. I make the transfer from earth to heaven. And then I walk away free. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what the word says. And I'm telling you what it is. I love you, Jesus. I do. Anybody love God? I love you more than anything. I just love him. I love God. How can you not love somebody who does that? How can you not love somebody who knows the invisible place? I'm talking about when it's breaking, when it's broken, when nobody else can see the pain, when nobody else even understands, when you can't even explain what you're feeling and what you're going through with anybody else. He steps right in and he touches it and he says, I care. I'm still your father and I love you. And so I can't help but to say I love you, Jesus. More than anything, more than anything. Come on, this is worship time. Somebody ought to want to worship him today. Somebody who's going to take away your fears. Somebody who's going to take away your worries. Somebody who's going to take away all your anxieties. I lift my hands in total praise. I lift my hands to you, God. See, I can't help it. I can't help it. I want to tell him thank you. You reign, God. Doors up, church open. Doors open. We want to give somebody an opportunity. Come on, everybody know that song.
Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Come on, talk to us.
I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
See, that's what gives you the release right there. That's just praise. That's what that is. I want to just praise you, God.
You reign on the throne. For you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song.
Thank you.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. And I know by now you know about this new book that we have released. Not only have we released it, the book is here. And it's an excellent read, not just because I wrote it, but because of the content and what it conveys. It tells the story of where marriage comes from. Marriage comes from God. And I need us to know that. And if you're in love and are considering this particular path for your life, the content of this book will help you along the way. Not only do we talk about where marriage comes from, we talk about keys to compatibility, what's necessary to be effective in marriage. I have a little acronym in the book. It's called CUT, C-U-T, Communication, Understanding, Trust. That becomes the basic formula that's necessary for any marriage to be successful. Not only do we talk about those things and the keys to compatibility, we also talk about staying in love. Once you're in love, we certainly want to remain in love. And some may wonder, well, what if I married the wrong person? We even deal with that as well. So this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that you're in line with what God's will is for your life. June is coming, and many marriages take place in the month of June, July, and August. So if you're one of those lucky ones, we certainly want you to have this book as you go through your time of merrymaking and life change. God bless you. Please follow the prompts on the screen that you may know how to get your personal copy of this book. Friends, this is Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.